Welcome to Money Matters, the podcast that focuses on how to use the money you have, make the money you need, and save the money you want. Now, here is your host, Ms. Kim Chapman.
Welcome to another edition of Money Matters. I am your host, Kim Chapman. Money has a profound impact on many of the decisions we make every day. Some of those decisions are just really, really simple, but then there are those that just make you scratch your head and go, But guess what? The more you listen to this podcast, the less scratching you will do. So go ahead, hit the subscribe button, because guess what? We're all going to have a good hair day today. Here's my quote. The past is where you learned the lesson. The future is where you apply the lesson. What lessons have we learned from past recessions, and will they keep us from going into another one? Currently, economists and financial experts are still debating a pending recession. Well, guess what? Today, we're going to try and get some answers to find out what you need to know about a recession. My guest today is Lee Buckner. Mr. Buckner is an associate professor of economics at Baton Rouge Community College, where he has been a full-time faculty member for 10 years. Prior to that, he was an economist for the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, where he primarily researched the impacts of the 2005 and 2008 hurricanes on the Louisiana commercial seafood industry. Welcome, Mr. Buckner.
Hi, Kim. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us. I know this is a very, very, very hot topic, and so I want to go ahead and dive in. But I do have a question. You know, when you have people in your family that are doctors or in the medical profession, people are always asking them questions, even if it's not an area they specialize in. So I have to ask you, every time there's something in the news about the economy that's negative, do your family and friends pick up the phone and call you and say, hey, what's happening, and look to you to be the resource?
Oh, 100%. Yes. Whenever there's any kind of data that comes out on whatever news source you prefer, I always get the questions about like why this happened or why that happened, or I get questions about what kind of stocks should I buy, or what's going to happen with the real estate market. Pretty much anything that deals with finance or just the national economy, somebody's going to ping me and trying to see what I think on it.
Guess I'm going to have to sneak my name in on that friends and family list. All right, Mr. Buckner, let's just get started and dive in. What is a recession?
Well, there's two ways that we often measure recession. There's the measurement everyone uses, and then there's the official government measurement. The most common definition of recession is a period of 6 or more straight months where there's a decline in gross domestic product. And gross domestic product is just a measurement of how much stuff is produced in a country in a year. The official definition of a recession is defined by the National Bureau of Economic Research. They have a committee of experts who look at a variety of national production, income, and output measurements, and they look to see if there has been a decline in these measurements that is long in duration, diverse, meaning it's affecting a lot of different industries, and if it's a significant decline. And if they see, according to their expert analysis, a significant period of economic decline by the measurements they use, then they'll declare that period of time a recession. In practice, both of these two measurements, the simple, do we have 6 months or more of decline, or the complicated, we get a lot of measurements and seeing if there's a lot of negative effects, they have the same measurements, basically, same outcomes.
So for consumers that are concerned, what would just kind of be like a layman's term? What are some indicators that we should be looking for that will really help us give direction in terms of, are we really heading into a recession, or do we have nothing to really worry about?
I think for a consumer's perspective, the main thing to look at is employment. If you just, whatever media source you prefer, if you see through the media, hey, unemployment rate is ticking up, that's a pretty strong indicator that we're going through a recessionary period in the country.
And I guess I'm going to harp on that since you mentioned basically employment and recession, because there's a joke that I read and it says a recession is when everyone else loses their job and a depression is when you lose yours. So what is the real difference between a recession and a depression?
Yeah, I think that's a Ronald Reagan quote from the early 1980s. I'm not sure if he was the originator of it. The idea of what a depression is, It's not something that has a specific definition, but generally you can think about a depression as a really severe recession or a recession that lasts a long time. So a long time being, you know, more than 2 or 3 years.
So on average, how long do recessions last?
You can have quite a bit of variety there. So in 2020, there was a very short but very severe recession due to the effects of COVID, and mainly the COVID lockdowns. But that was probably only a 3-month recession. So wouldn't meet actually the standard definition of 6 straight months of economic decline. But it is widely considered to have been a recession, but it was very short. Prior to that, we had a recession in 2008 and 2009 that lasted 6 to 9 months. That's more of a typical length of time you would see for a recession, is that in 6 months to a year range.
And I see that these recessions actually have names. Like you mentioned, the short one that was about 2 to 3 months, they call it the COVID recession. And then there was one from 2007 to 2009, the Great Recession. Who comes up with these names? Is this official?
I don't think so. No, it's more of a media concept. So the NBER, the National Bureau of Economic Research, they are the committee that officially defines when a recession starts and when it ends. And they don't declare names to the different recessionary periods. They just say, we had a recession from this month to that month. But I think it's just easier for people in the public to associate a recession with a particular event. So easy to call the recession that we had at the beginning of 2020 as the COVID recession. You know, because that's when COVID lockdowns happened.
So you mentioned, of course, definitely high unemployment or increasing unemployment is an indicator. What are some other impacts that we would see from a recession?
Well, so the biggest thing is going to be employment. That's what affects people directly the most. You're also going to see some impacts during a recession. You're often going to see some sort of government response to the recession. So in a response to the last three recessions that we had in this country, so that would be 2001, then 2008-9, and then again in COVID 2020, the federal government has initiated some sort of stimulus payments to American households. And that has been an effort to try and get people out to go to buy stuff again. So if they're buying stuff, companies need to make more stuff. If they're making more stuff, they have to hire more people. And that sort of is meant to cause a cascade effect to end the recessions.
And I think another negative word that consumers have been obsessed with is inflation. You know, there's been a lot of talk about inflation. The feds have increased the interest rate. How does inflation impact a recession? Or does it?
Inflation is sort of a different concept. Right now, we're recording this the first week of 2023, and the United States is pretty clearly not in a recession. But I think if you look at sentiment of American consumers, people are not feeling real great about the United States economy right now. If inflation is, which is a measurement of how much goods and services are increasing in price over time, that number is much, much higher right now than what people have seen in this country really going back to the early 1980s, right? So for most people, certainly through their adult lives, like it's the highest they've ever seen.
Yes, it is.
which, you know, people don't like. And it's generally, it's much higher than most people would prefer, much higher than the government prefer it be. So it's not good. But a recession tends to deal more with the amount of stuff that's produced in the country, which directly impacts the number of people that are employed. So our country's still making a little bit more stuff month over month. Employment is still pretty high. I mean, the amount of people that are actually unemployed in this country, it is still pretty low, right? The unemployment rate is still right around 4%, which historically is very low. But people aren't happy because prices of stuff is going up. So inflation and recessions are kind of separate concepts, but they both affect how people feel about the economy.
What can consumers do to prepare for a recession if we're still uncertain if we're going to have one, if we're going to be in a recession?
Yeah, so a lot of economists are predicting that going into 2023, the United States is more likely than not going to have some recession this year, probably not a very deep recession, but there's a lot of things being done revolving around interest rates, done by the Federal Reserve System. They're trying to drive up interest rates, which is going to cause consumers to purchase less stuff, which is going to drive up unemployment, which should cause a mild recession. That's the expectation for most economists for 2023. So again, to the quote, you know, a recession is when your neighbor loses their job, and a depression is when you lose your job. And you think, how do you prepare for a recession? Is to be financially prepared. For most people, they do not have very much savings. You know, so if you wanted to prepare for a recession, I think the number one thing you could do as a consumer, as a household, is to save money for a catastrophic event. For a lot of financial analysts would suggest you want to have 3 to 6 months of income in savings. So if you were to lose your job, which is a common effect of a recession, you would have money to draw on. Also, I think, you know, you should be thoughtful and careful about how much debt you take on. If you have a lot of debt, a lot of credit card debt, high car payments, those sort of things, and you have a job, maybe you can support that. But if anything happened to your income flow, you know, that could become a real problem, right? So if you are careful about the kind of debt you have when times are good, if times all of a sudden become not good, you could be better able to weather that storm until you catch on another job.
And so I know that interest rates are really having that negative impact for people that want to borrow. But for savers, you know, this is a really good time for them. It's almost like a silver lining, if you will, for the recession. Are there any other silver linings that we could think of in terms of recession?
Well, there's an old adage about comparing recessions to forest fires. And so if you think about a forest, and over time, it builds up debris, like leaves fall, pine needles fall along the forest floor, little bushes and shrubs grow up and take up all the nutrients from the trees you really want there. And having all that growth and all that stuff on the bottom of the forest floor is actually kind of unhealthy for the forest. So there's an idea that you want to have a small forest fire periodically. You don't want to have all that junk building up on the bottom for decades and decades, because then when if it does, and then you actually have a forest fire, the whole forest burns down. It's a terrible thing. So the analogy there to recessions is that it's long-term, not necessarily a bad thing to have periodic mild recessions, right? It causes, when there's a recession happens, companies tend to shrink a little bit. They focus on what they're good at. They cut some of their external activities, and that can, over the long term, be good. Helps companies become more efficient, focus on new things. It clears up space for new companies to grow and for new industries to emerge. So a silver lining to recessions, if they're mild, I'm not going to say this is a good thing. Like what happened in 2008, 2009 was not a mild recession. I'm not going to describe that as good. But if you're going to have a mild periodic recession, it helps keep things efficient, helps keep companies to be efficient, which in the long run is going to help the country be more productive.
So what are going to be indicators if we are in a recession? What are going to be indicators that we are coming out of it?
Well, so if you look at some of the indicators of when we're about to go into recession, one major thing would be income, household income, adjusted for inflation. And if that number is flat or going down, there's an indicator that people are going to start buying less stuff. And again, the most common way to measure a recession is 6 or 8 months of a decline in the amount of stuff produced in the country. Well, if you have households having a decline in income, then they're probably going to buy less stuff. So companies are going to want to make less stuff, which is a recession. And that, by the way, is an indicator that's kind of looking bad right now for the United States. Over the last year, we've had pretty significant amount of inflation, right? So if you look at household incomes, they've been going up over the last year, but not up as fast as inflation. So the purchasing power that people get from their incomes in this country has been ticking down a little bit over the last several months. Well, that's an indicator that we're probably going to go into a recessionary period in the country over the next, 6 months or a year. Another thing, you could look at businesses, right? There's a lot of indicators about businesses' expectations about what their sales are going to look like over the next 3, 6, 12 months. And you look at their production schedules and, what are they planning to produce, for the next quarter, for the next year? Are they building new factories, in order to make new products? And if you look at those business indicators in the United States, they're slowing down too, as we enter 2023. So those kind of things, you can look at consumer sentiment, you can look at what businesses expect to make and sell, are pretty good measurements of whether we're going to go into recession or not. But again, there's no perfect measurement to this. The real big factor there is recessions are caused by different things. In 2008 and 2009, we had a recession because there was basically a meltdown in the United States banking system. That's very different than we had a recession in 2020 because of a global pandemic. So predicting when we're going to have a recession is tricky because recessions are just all different.
And who really, I guess at what point, because it's been so much talk about, okay, we're heading in one, we may be heading in one, are we going to wake up one day and see on the news, hey, official as of 8 o'clock this morning, we're in a recession. What can we really look for? What are going to be the indicators? Is it going to be economists, financial experts that are coming on the news saying, is there going to be something official from the government that says, hey, we're officially in a recession? And then what should people do, to prevent that panic?
Well, the definition of when we're in a recession often happens after it started. So, with COVID, it was clear to everybody, from people, on the streets to, analysts that work for the government, that we were going to have a really significant economic event, even if people weren't calling it a recession. In 2019, we saw there was some, new virus, China. And they were starting to lock down in China in the middle of 2019, for a lot of their major cities. We saw in Western Europe, that was happening at the end of 2019. This is going to become a global problem. And then, going at the beginning of 2020, we saw the virus is spreading in the United States. And it was clear to everyone that this was going to be a big thing, right? We didn't know what it was. It was, first and foremost, it was a public health crisis. Right. But in terms of the economy, it was clear that it was going to be something, but it wasn't clear how severe it was going to be in terms of the economy. That's my expertise. I'll focus on that part of it. It wasn't clear how long it was going to be. And it wasn't really clear what industries were going to be affected. Right. So there were some obvious things, like if you were looking in the spring of 2020, obvious that it was not going to be a great time to work in a hotel or a restaurant.
Or a cruise ship.
Right. and some of those industries, never really came back the same way. But then there were other industries where it was complicated, right? So what does COVID do to a health system, right? And it turns out, oh, wow, we probably need a lot more people working in healthcare. So something to think about, like, how do you prepare for a recession? How do you predict, when it's going to happen? A lot of it is specific to what kind of job you do and how, in terms of what kind of effects there would be. If you, work in kind of shipping and transportation, if you work in any kind of internet sales-based business or something tied to that, a lot of economic activity shifted to that. Mm-hmm. So in terms of how you prepare for it and how do you predict what's going to be, you really got to understand your individual circumstances in terms of whatever company you work for, what do they do, right? And how would people respond to changes that are bringing about the recession? right? And COVID was a very different recession than a financial crisis of 2008-2009 brought on by a bubble bursting in residential real estate, right? So what the effects are going to be, it's going to be quite a bit different.
So recessions are not really a new phenomenon. There have been recessions for decades and decades. The time span in between seems to change. Seems like on average, maybe there have been, it's been closer to 3 to 5 years, whereas of course COVID is a little different. It was just in 2020 and here we are in 2023. But I really want to focus on what can we learn from past recessions to help us in the future. I remember the 2007, 2008 recession. I think working in finance, I really had a front row seat into how it impacted the standard consumer. And so my takeaway more so than ever was, yes, have that money set aside. You know, savings became a really, really bigger part of my life because it was like, oh my goodness, you know, this could have very well been me and were my savings adequate. So that was a really, really big focus for me. And that was kind of my takeaway. What have we learned in or what should we really be taking away from these recessions that help us for future recessions?
So if you look at the 2008-2009 recession, economists have almost universally agreed that the United States federal government didn't really do enough to help combat the effects of that recession. So in 2009, Congress passed a law trying to address that, trying to pass out stimulus checks, trying to support local and state governments. But it turned out that the amount of money they provided didn't really end that recession quickly enough. And we had persistent high unemployment for 3-4 years after that. So the effects of that recession really lingered for a long time. So the big lesson there was federal government should have done more. So fast forward to the next recession, COVID 2020, the federal government had a much, much bigger response. They had a lot more support for local governments. They gave households a lot more money through stimulus checks. We've done three rounds of those from 2020 to 2022. And that has caused the effects of the COVID recession to dissipate really, really quickly. I mean, by any measurement, if you look at output in the country, it's up. If you look at unemployment, it's really low. So I would say that, you know, you always need to learn, right? When you look at what the government has done in response to the last couple of recessions, they are learning and hopefully gonna be better prepared for the next one. From an individual consumer standpoint, you know, like if you're someone who's, if you've through your adult life, now you've experienced two recessions, you've seen what happens when there can be a really sharp decline in the stock market, which might really affect your retirement savings. You've seen what can happen if people lose their jobs and they don't have savings to prepare for it. You've got to take that information in. You've got to look at that and be like, okay, am I really prepared to lose my job? Right? Am I really prepared to have some sort of major medical event that makes it so I can't go into an office anymore? You know, or maybe my chosen profession is going to be really tough for the next, you know, few months to few years. Would I be capable of transitioning to a position different from what I'm doing now? I think you've got to think about the resiliency that you as a household have. But then also, you know, as an economist, I can talk about the sort of the government response of it. And hopefully governments have figured out what's worked and what hasn't from past recessions and be able to use that information for the next one.
Do you think we'll ever get to a period where a recession will just be an afterthought?
No. I mean, no. There's a sort of a famous example up until COVID of Australia. Australia is a country that post-World War II did not have a recession until COVID. But that's also a really wonky situation because it's a continent with very few people that just had a rapid growth, right? And their idea of recession was just slow down in growth for a few years. China is also a similar story over the last 30 years. But in the United States, no, it's, you're always going to have a period where things are going to boom, right? Things are going to grow and they're going to grow quickly. And there's nobody out there that doesn't want that, right? You want to have a situation where the country is going to grow and expand, create new industries and create new cool products that people are going to buy. And that's going to cause a big, just positive explosion in the amount of stuff that people have. That's great. But the downside of that is you're going to wind up having corrections to that, right? Oh, we're going to have this big explosive new product. And then it turns out, we didn't have it quite right. The internet's a perfect example of this. We haven't really talked about this yet, but there was a recession in 2001 often referred to as the dot-com bubble, right? So through the 1990s, the access to the internet became a thing, right? There was a lot of new companies that tried to do e-commerce and to figure out how do we make money on this thing? How do we create new jobs and services and experiences through this? And lots of cool, weird things happened. And, you know, society is clearly better for it. But it turned out a lot of those new, cool, weird ideas weren't really viable businesses. And, you know, when we had the dot-com bubble, a lot of those companies failed. Lots of people lost their jobs. It was definitely a down period, fairly short for the nation, bad for particular industries, but it was a recession, right? And that's going to happen, right? When you have booms, you have great new creativity and expansion of your economy and making new products. Sometimes you're going to have a pullback, sometimes it's not going to work. And that's going to cause a recession.
And so you mentioned earlier in preparation, we should basically be saving, making sure we've got 3 to 6 months. But, you know, if the recession is right around the corner, we may not have time to get that money together or to basically eliminate that debt right before we get into it. So for those people that may be sitting here listening and maybe in a panic thinking, hey, I need 3 to 6 months to save 3 to 6 months worth of money, should they find some comfort in that the government will be there to help them do this?
Yeah. I mean, so if you believe that people's past behavior is a good predictor of their future behavior, which I do, if you look at the last three times we've had a recession, dot-com, I just mentioned 2001, financial crisis, 2008, 2009, COVID in 2020, government responded by providing financial support to American households. They've called it different things in the different periods, but basically stimulus checks. They'll send people money to support them. During COVID, for the first year after COVID, the federal government provided states a bunch of money to increase the benefits that were paid out for unemployed people. So unemployment benefits went up substantially for about a year after the COVID recession. So there's a pretty clear track record that the federal government is going to support American households through recessionary times. But there's also pretty clear evidence that most people, if they lose a job, are not going to be made whole by that support. It's just going to help make the gap a little less. I would say, yeah, the government's going to do something to help you based on their past behaviors, but you know, you do kind of think need to at least be a little bit proactive and seeing what you can do to prepare yourself as well.
Well, it seems that I guess only time will tell whether we will get there or not. And it seems certain that even if we do, it won't be the last recession. So is there any like one most important thing that you want consumers to know in terms of recessions before we end our session?
I would say know that they're going to happen, right? Know that it's going to be a cycle in our country of growth, followed by some decline, which is the recession, followed by more growth, right? They're always going to happen. They're always going to end. Sometimes they'll affect you. Sometimes it won't, you know, but you just need to be aware it's going to happen and you need to be prepared for how you might respond to it.
So it sounds like it's not a matter of if, a matter of when. And on that note, it's not a matter of if we'll have you back. It's just a matter of when we'll have you back. So thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me today.
A recession can impact your everyday life and budget. Here's a list of do's and don'ts that can help you prepare. Do stay calm and assess your financial situation. You don't want to make decisions out of panic and fear. Do assess that budget to see what expenses you can cut out. Make sure you don't increase your fixed expenses or take on new debt. Focus on your own debt and savings and budgets. You don't want to be responsible as a co-signer at this particular time. And finally, increase your emergency savings and avoid making large purchases if you can. Check out neighborsfcu.org/financial education to learn more on how to use the money you have, make the money you need, and save the money you want.